escape from where you work, what you're dealing with, paying bills, going to the doctor, running kids all over the place, trying to keep up with your body, wishing your body would keep up with you, and all of those other things, just to just enter and step into that moment, just into the heavenly places. That's where we've been. We didn't necessarily leave there. We just changed the pace real quick. And I got to tell you, I'm just excited about the message that I have today. Now, the problem is it's kind of like me being funny. Debbie always says, just because you think it's funny doesn't mean everybody else thinks it's funny. So you don't have to share my enthusiasm, but I'm sorry, I'm just fired up about it a little bit. And Debbie's not here either. She's in Atlanta, by the way, this weekend, so she's not here to tell me to slow down. She's always telling me, when you preach, you need to slow down. You talk so fast. She goes, you're just in a pep rally. You just need to slow down so people can, half the people don't hear what you say. So I want to take a poll. Never, okay. I will endeavor to slow down, but it's just amazing what happens when you're under the anointing. So I'll do everything that I can. Actually, this is kind of a repeat of a sermon in 2015. Actually, it was 2012. I asked many people of our church, I said, will you do me a favor? Will you join a group of people? And we're going to go through what's called the Healthy Church Initiative of the Oklahoma. It was a thing that we did, trying to kind of capture the core values of our church and why we're here. So we went through an awful lot of lessons and sessions and things like that. And the whole thing is, we wanted to come back with a vision statement for our church and also with the core values of our church. Why are we here? Who are we? What do we stand for? And we do that for many, many reasons. And they accepted this challenge. And as a product of that, we have an incredible vision statement that we want to share with you in just a second. And we just think it just really gives us directive. Some of this may sound a little dry versus spiritual, but it's all very, very spiritual. So I want to share with you our vision statement. Most of you already know. Matter of fact, if you would like to get one of these, some of you have seen it in the past, but this is the pamphlet. We have it in the information station right there in front of the stained glass when you leave today. And on it, we have our vision statement. It says, come as you are, love like family, and live the journey. We want people to show up to this place understanding that you can just come as you are. Now listen, I've seen some of those pictures about people who go to Walmart, okay? I understand some of them crawl out of bed, go to Walmart, and go back to bed. So we're not telling you just hang out in your jammies. But we are saying this, that you know what? We just want you to come as you are. Every one of you, when you got saved, it doesn't matter if you were 5 years old or you were 50, there wasn't a single thing that you could do to clean up your act, so to speak, to deserve the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say, you go and you attend church for a year, you learn all the four gospels, and you learn this, and you do that, and then, no, Jesus accepted us. He said, come as you are, because I've got a great plan for your life. And I love that what God did with all of our lives after we came as we are, and that's what we want this church to be. It's not that we're lowering any standards. The standard will always be the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't dress like we used to do, 10, 15, 20 years ago. That's okay. It's not a big deal. But come as you are, as your heart is, wherever it is. There's a lot of people that have never stepped place in this church or any other place because of some of the things that have happened in their life. Some of them, they didn't cause, but it happened to them. And they'll never be in a church because they just don't feel comfortable. We want everybody to feel welcome and comfortable in this church. We want you to love like family. We want this to be the experience that you have when you come to this church. That somewhere in there, whether it's immediate or whether it's down the road, that you go, you know what? This feels like family. You've heard my story several times when I went to Huffman Assembly. Man, I'm going to tell you what. I was such a part of that church. I wasn't even a member, but I felt like I was a member. I just loved being there. That was where I went. I couldn't wait to be at that church. I couldn't wait for Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights because I was going to be at Huffman Assembly of God. And the last one is live the journey. We want people to have this picture and this vision that the Lord gives us that we're going somewhere. Sometimes the church becomes the default place to go, but nothing happens after that. when we come into this church and as the Lord interacts with our lives, if you sing songs like this and you don't leave here different and there's something happening, stirring in your heart, you can't wait for tomorrow, then something's wrong with you. The old phrase was like this, then your wood's wet, okay? There, we need to get going here. And that's what we want to do. And you know what? This answers the question, what do we do in church? Why are we here in the first place? It literally answers that question. It gives this picture and this vision. So, and it tells us about what kind of church that we want to be. That's what a vision statement is. A vision statement, by definition, is a statement describing our preferred future. It may not be your existence right now, but it's what you want to be, starting right now where we want to go. That's the powerful thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the powerful thing about your existence with Jesus, is it's always going somewhere. We're moving forward. Doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, there's always a tomorrow to look forward to, and you can only find that in Christ. So how are we going to get there? We're going to get there through our core values. This little pamphlet that you have back there, it lists all of our core values that we're going to start sharing in the next several weeks. And the first one today is simply right over here. If you'll see, these banners on the wall are our 8 core values, and we're going to talk about the first one today. We value authentic and loving relationships. Let me remind you what a core value is. Everybody has a core value. Whether you've defined it or not, you've got a core value. But this is what a core value does. It decides what you are and what you believe to the core of your being. When you strip off all of the layers, this is how you really, really feel about something. This is really, really how you act. And this is incredible because we use words like conviction. We use words like character. We use words like my conscience. This is what your core value infects every one of those things. It decides who you're going to be. So we want to do that as a church too. It's also the foundation of what we believe. You know, there's a lot of things that if we're not careful, we just kind of get swayed by the prevailing winds to think this or think that. We get pushed off by trends or fads. And we don't want to be caught up in a church fad or a trend. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with associating with, like, say, new music or new material or new ways to do something. Those are just methods. It's not the message. It's also the standard by which we measure our behavior. If you don't have a standard that says, this is the way I'm going to live my life, this is the way I'm going to be, then you know what? You'll float all over the place. You really will. Hey, I remember it was mostly in high school, but man, I was so peer pressure driven, it was pitiful. That's why I took my first drink, was peer pressure. That's why I smoked my first marijuana cigarette. That's why I did peer pressure. And then I realized one day I could become president. You have to be a little older to catch that one, but most of you did. Peer pressure. Well, listen, we're going to float all over the. We're going to be all over the radar unless we have a foundation, a standard. We don't have a whole lot of standards out there anymore. Everything is flexible and it moves all over the place. Our nation used to be pretty solid. There were a lot of standards. You didn't have to look around. It was the culture that defined. Now we don't have it. I mean, just about anything goes. Would you agree? Just about anything is acceptable. Would you agree? Everything is permissible. Would you agree? But is everything approved of God? No, not at all. So we need to understand it. It's what we do in living out our daily lives. So let me introduce you to the first one. It's on our wall. Number one right over there. It says, we value authentic and loving relationships. Now listen, I brought my cell phone to the pulpit for the first time in my life, I think. And there's my cell phone. There's my daughter, my 2 granddaughters right there. Look quick, it's going to go away. But yeah, the reason I brought my cell phone is because all of you have cell phones. And you know, you tell me you're looking at scripture. Yeah, Mason, you're looking at scripture. Never mind. Listen, I know you're doing a lot of things on your phone. But there's this thing called the contact list in your phone, all right? How many contacts do you have on your phone? Most of you don't know. You know how many I have on mine? 434 names are in there. 434. I didn't know I knew 434 people. 434. It's amazing. But that's how many contacts I have on this phone. And on our contact list, there are people that are there. But let me ask you this. How many people that are on your contact list, that if you had a problem, You could call them, or if they wanted to talk to you, they could call you. They could ask you anything, and you would tell them everything. That just greatly diminished your contact list, didn't it? It reduced it to very, very few people. So you know what? You know who those are? Those are authentic, loving people in your life. They are the real deal. They're somebody who's spoken into your life. They've played a role in your life. They may have a title like husband, wife, friend, neighbor. They may be your brother, your sister, whoever, but they play an extremely valuable role in your life, and they are authentic. That's why we list them in our phone as contacts, not best and closest friends. Now listen, look around you. I don't know how many people are in this congregation, but I'm just going to take you, help you for just a second. You can't be friends with everybody in this room, not especially if it's on the best friend level. We can come collectively as a church and be a church of people that have that, but God has not asked you to be everybody's best friend. Would you try to be everybody's best friend? Then you're nobody's best friend. You realize that, don't you? You're juggling way too many balls. You're trying to keep everybody happy. You don't even know who you are after a while because you're owned by everybody else. But God says in the church, and I believe this, I'm going to support it with scripture in just a minute, that he wants people to have authentic, loving relationships because that's what he wants to build his church on. Listen, Jesus chose 12 men and he poured his life into them for 3 years and still one of them betrayed him. That's a sad fact, isn't it? Isn't it hard to believe that Judas could have seen the miracles, done the things that Jesus did, and watched all of those things, be a part of those miracles? He was in the boat when Jesus said, calm, be still, but yet he still betrayed him. Let me give you the definition of authentic. It says, no faults, not false or copied, but genuine or real. We like to say things like, you're the real deal. Not because it rhymes, because we know what it means. You're the real thing. In the old days, in the Greek culture, they had these sculptures that they would make and they would sell. And the word sincere, we're all familiar with, say, I'm sincere. You know where that word came from? It came from two words called sincera, and it meant without wax. You see, the people that sold these statues, the ones that had flaws in them, they would take wax and they would put it in these flaws. You know, maybe something fell apart or whatever, and they would put these flawed pieces covered up by this wax. But if it had one that was labeled sincera, no wax, that meant it was the real deal. It was authentic. It was pure. It was genuine. And that's what God wants with our relationships. But it's hard, isn't it? It's difficult, isn't it? Listen, I just wanted to ask you this question. Are all relationships authentic? Are all of them lovely? The answer is no. I'll answer for you. No. You know what? They're messy, and they're dirty, and they're difficult, and they're hard. Relationships are hard. That's why a lot of people don't want to have relationships with other people, because it's hard. It's overbearing. And you know what? Also, if I have a relationship with you, that means I'm inviting you into my life, but that's also you exposing me to your life. It's called a relationship for a purpose. And God wants you to do incredible things for that. And it's difficult. It's hard. But you know what? Will you say that was this with me? I know you love it when preachers do this. It's worth it. Say it with me. It's worth it. I want you to look at your husband and wife and say, you're worth it. Don't let me down. I did that just for your sake. They're worth it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. They're worth it. You know, hey, what about your children? Now, listen, I understand there's times you just want to boot them. I understand there's times you just want to disown them. But for the most part, you just love those stinkers, don't you? I mean, you know what? And as old as they get, doesn't matter how old they are, they're still your kids, for crying out loud. I still stay awake at night wondering what the heck my kids are doing, ask them if they're in or whatever. Because, by the way, I have grandkids. They better be taking care of them. Now we have greater responsibilities. But this life is hard. Jesus told 12 men. Why didn't he choose 20? Why didn't he choose 200? I don't know what's magical about the 12. But when you think about the contacts in your phone, how many of those are authentic and loving relationships? I'm not asking you to count them, but just think about that just for a second. Could it be that God wants that to also be the nature of Claremore Assembly of God? Do we have authentic, loving relationships? Because you know what? Let's go back to what I said a minute ago. doing church is hard. It's messy. It gets dirty. It gets tough. Sometimes we find out the difference between each other as much as we find out how much we're alike. And it's difficult. But Jesus said, you know what? It's worth it. Because I told Peter that I would build this church upon the rock, but I'm the builder. And he said, I went to the cross so that the church could exist, so that people could come in that church, even though they're a mess and they're just a hardship, but to come into that church so that they could have some authentic and loving relationships. And without those, we live very, very shallow lives. So you can have a lot of acquaintances, you can have a lot of friends, but very few people will be really true to the end, friendships. Out of the 12 people that Jesus just chose to follow him, all but one died a martyr's death. Would you say that that's an authentic and loving relationship? Do you think that's maybe a commitment or two? Do you think with all of that stuff, remember all the things Jesus had to do? You know, here's a couple of guys over here going, hey, I want to sit on your right. I want to sit on your left. You know, they're arguing about who's going to be great in the kingdom. You think there was a little contentious moment or two there between the disciples? Hey, what about the time when Peter walked in the water? I'm going to tell you what, the disciples, I don't think they were probably going, yeah, you go, Peter. I don't think so. They were probably in awe, like going, he is walking in water. I bet most of them are going, who does he think he is? This happens in the church. But Jesus still said, I went to the cross and died so that the church can exist. So listen, how are we going to do this? How are we going to make that we value authentic and loving relationships become real? If you'll lead the little paragraph behind, this is what it says. We will build our church and embrace our community by how we love others. Notice the word we. We've included you whether you signed up or not. We've given directive to ourselves that we will build our church. Now, that doesn't mean we're taking it out of Jesus' hands. We're talking about when Claremore Assemblies of God to starting tomorrow, and we're actually starting years and years ago. It was Brother Roberts that started the church. Brother Owens was right over here. He was the last pastor. All of these men wanted this church to progress. They didn't want it to fall apart because they left. And when I leave, I want this church to just excel. That's the heart of a pastor. But we want to build our church on the principles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to embrace our community. That's why churches are here. Guess what? There's two things that we probably get confused on. Why the church is here? We usually think it's for us. First, number one, it's for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for God. We came here today to worship him, not to be worshiped. The second thing, it's for the community. The church was established as an outreach, as a loving arm of the Lord Jesus Christ to the community. We may be third, But isn't it amazing how that even if we might be third on that list, how blessed we are? You know why? Because God has indeed given you some authentic and loving relationships, and especially the one you have with him. How are we going to do that? By loving others. We're going to build our church and embrace this community by the way we love other people. I've already said this to somebody once today, but actions always trump words. Doesn't matter what we put on a marquee. Doesn't matter how many of these things we manufacture. Doesn't matter what we mail out. Doesn't matter what we show up on the screen, how many songs we sing. Our actions will always define our church. And if we're authentic, people are drawn to that. Out of all of those TV commercials for cars, if you're in the market for a car, where are you going to go? I mean, you got Glover, and you got Nissan, you got all those people. Where do you want to go? Most of us are going to go to a friend. We're going to ask them about their experience. Yeah, go to the computer all you want, but you're still just dealing with facts. Most people are going to come to this church not because of just a sign, although God uses that, not because they're looking for a church and saw us online, because people see that too. But you know what? The reason they may come back to this church is because of the experience they have in this church. Authenticity is incredibly important. Not only for the other person watching you, but for yourself. Isn't it great to go to bed at night knowing today I've been real? Today I've not lived a lie. Today I've not tried to fool anybody. Today I wasn't faking it. I got to be myself today. Those are days you celebrate. And God wants us to have those. I want you to take you with me to John the 13th chapter, verse 34, 35. Before I go there, I just want to quote another theologian. He was my dad. He sounded like God. That's the only close to, you know, he acted like God. He had a swift anger, you know, and he was quick to judge, and he was always right. So there you go. But I remember my dad, he used to always say this. He said, listen, he said, remember who you are, what is expected of you, and why you're here. And he'd always say it with this at the end of it. He said, because after all, you're a Mewburn and you are my son. Wow. That may not have been scripture, but it gave great clarity to what I was to do. My dad had high expectations for his children. He didn't just float out there and hope that we would find him. No, he had a plan for our life. That plan was very difficult to follow. It was very, very interesting, I would say. But now I look back on it, and one of the reasons that I have to look back, regardless of how I was raised, and you've heard several stories about my dad, I had an incredible dad. He beat the snot out of us because he loved us. Kind of, you know. Yeah. I think he was just trying to keep his arm in shape. And he had six kids, so his right arm was much bigger than his left arm because he was right-handed. But anyway, there were some incredible things he did. And I remember he said, always remember who you are. Always remember what's expected of you and why you're here. Because after all, you're a Mewburn, which set the standard. There was a standard, we said, and you are my son. So he put the pressure on us. I've never regretted that whatsoever. It was difficult to live under it, but it was hard. Let me tell you why people go to church. This is a generality, but let me just throw it out here. A lot of people go to church the way they go to movies. Hey, let's go to a movie. We want to go to a place, be by ourselves, be entertained, and we want to leave as quickly as we can, and we want to eat a lot of popcorn. That's why people here. That's why we put the cafe in there, okay? Just for the people that only come for the food, that's why it's there. But they go, they just want it as a movie experience. They really don't want to interact with anybody else. Now listen, let me just be real honest. Some people go to church and they really don't need the scrutiny. They want to come and they want to observe. That's okay. They want to feel it out. They want to know if this is some place that I want to invest my life in. That's okay. I'm not saying that that's the way you are if you did that. But a lot of people want to do that. The problem is if they do that every week, then all they have is an entertaining moment, whether they like the movie or not, and that's it. And some people come because it's a family reunion. You know, we're supposed to come and we're with the family, you know, whether it's your blood relatives or just friends or whatever. And you have that moment, but the big gaps between the family reunion, you forget about each other. You don't really know what's going on and you don't keep in touch during the week and that type of thing. But here's the thing that I hope that you've embraced. And this is not really scriptural, but at the same time, it describes a lot of us. You know what? You go to church because this is your opportunity to hang out with your best friends. You got people all over the world that you can depend on, you have to do things with, but most of them, whether they're at work or in the neighborhood or whatever, it's not because you have a deep relationship with them, it's because it's who you cooperate with, it's who you deal with and that type of thing. But when you come to church, it should be that, man, I get to hang out with my best friends. And one thing that's never, we've never tried to kill it, but it's always still been alive, if you'll notice today, there's people that just hang out in this church. And I'm going, that's cool. Unless you have to lock up. That is really cool, unless you have to lock up. And Pastor John's locking up today, so you hang out as long as you want. Okay? You just be here forever. That's his parents over there. They're headed back home. Who cares? All right? Let me take you to John the 13th chapter, 34 through 35. The Bible says, and this is Jesus talking, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Jesus said, as I have loved you. Jesus gave us the most wonderful and the most complete example in the world, and that is that he loved us. This kind of love that Jesus had for his disciples and for the world that he was ministering to is a love that is possible. Some of you have been so burned in personal relationships, in marital relationships, in deals, in partnerships, that you don't trust anybody. You've got such a wall up that you're going, I'm never going to let anybody in. I'm going to protect myself. And I understand, but at the same time, Jesus can't love you because of all the layers you put up to protect you. This kind of love is possible. When was the last time Jesus hurt you? I've hurt you. Listen, if you've never been in hurt in church, if you've never been hurt in this church, hang on. Just hold on. It'll happen. Somebody's going to bend you out of shape. Somebody's going to say something you didn't like. So I'm going to preach a sermon you don't agree with. I promise you, something's going to happen because that's the human nature of us. But Jesus has never done that. He said, as I have loved you, and this kind of love is possible, as he has loved me, therefore I need to love others. It's not just about let Jesus love me and we have a great little picnic together, but Jesus loves me so that I will be secure in the relationship I have with him so that I can extend that same love to other people. That's powerful. That is powerful. And the church is void of that in many ways. We need to make sure we preserve it here. He says this, by this all men. That means everybody, especially those who are looking. And guess what? The church is under scrutiny today more than it's ever been in its life. The church is being held responsible for things that we never thought we were going to be held responsible for. And here we are. Everybody's looking and they're wondering, can they trust us? Can they trust us? And trust me, they're looking. What they're looking for, and I hope that they'll find in this church and every other church, because I would pray this blessing on every church, is that they would find a clear example. A clear example. You see, everybody knows that you're flawed. Everybody knows I'm flawed. They don't hold it against me that I'm not perfect. What they hold it against me is that I'm not genuine. That's what somebody doesn't like. When the pastor's in the pulpit and he's just a bunch of fluff, he's just a preachy guy, but he's not the same in the hospital or at the grocery store that he is right here. Trust me, I am the same. If you've ever seen me at Walmart, I will mess you up just like I do here. I will be myself just like I am there. I will be loud as I am there as I am here. I am just the same person, so forgive me and get over it. You can tell my wife I said that. Never mind, I'll let her know if I want her to know that. He says, if you have love one to another. You've heard me dissect this before. Let me remind you of that. This is our role in this thing. There's two roles that we play. It's the if. Somewhere in this, we have to make the choice that we're going to be authentic and we're going to be loving, or we're going to be disingenuous and we're going to be closed in. It's one or the other. Really and truly, it's just two choices there. But it is a choice that we have to make as individuals. And as we make it individually, collectively, we change this church and we change our community. That's the power of a core value. Also, it says it is to one another. A lot of us have this sense that when somebody loves you, love is supposed to be brought. No, love is supposed to be delivered. You know, just like forgiveness. Jesus didn't say, wait until you're forgiven. Or somebody says, oh, yeah, it's okay, I understand what you did, and then forgive them. No, he says, you forgive them first, and then I will forgive you. Ooh, that stung for a little bit, didn't it? Jesus didn't say, wait till they're sorry. Wait to tell them to tell you, oh, it's all my fault. No, you make the initiative. It's the same thing with love. It needs to be delivered, not to be held in reserve. And we need to remember this one last thing, that Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's not talking to the unsaved masses. He's not talking about those people out there that need to clean up their act. He's not talking about to the woman at the well. He's not talking about the woman who was caught in adultery. He's not talking to the Pharisees or the Sadducees. He's talking to his followers. He's giving them instruction and says, listen, this is what I want you to do. Our authentic love for each other speaks to the unbeliever as we love each other. Isn't it amazing? This is what he said. He said, the world is going to be affected, not because you go and love them so much, because I've always felt like the pressure to reach the world is I've got to be extremely evangelistic. I've got to tell them about Jesus. You know what Jesus said? When they watch the body of Christ, loving the body of Christ, they will be drawn to the body of Christ. Because I'm going to tell you what, when you have a lot of indifference, when you're not friendly with your neighbors, when you have a lot of problems at work, you're hard to work with, I don't think anybody's begging to know where you go to church. Doubt they want to know your favorite scripture for the week. Where do you do your devotional? Yeah, I don't think so. But when they see you as a loving person, and they see us loving on each other, don't you just love the time? I love this when it happens. When I'm somewhere, and it only takes a matter of seconds, and you go, I bet that's a believer. Because of the way they act, you can see it in their demeanor. You can see it in just their eyes and their face. You look at their eyes, you see their heart, and you go, I bet they know the Lord Jesus Christ. 9 times out of 10, if not all the time, that's exactly what it is if you'll push the effort and just ask them that. You've heard me talk about Trey Hancock, my good friend from high school. his mom and dad had a house out in the country. And I'm going to tell you what, we went there in droves. We just loved to hang out at Trey's house. You know why? Because his mom and dad just opened their home. I mean, we would have spend-the-night parties there, not because they were scheduled, because they just happened. Sometimes, I mean, 20, 30 kids. We're just sleeping everywhere, sleeping on top of each other, for crying out. They're just all over the place. We used to make the biggest peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in the world at Trey Hancock's house. I mean, they were this high. It was huge, because that's all they would let us eat. And I know why. But you know what? Almost every Friday, this is what somebody would end up saying. Hey, are we going to Trey's house? Because we loved hanging out at Trey's house. His mom and dad were always so receptive. And when we got out there, we always had so much fun. I can't tell you some of the fun we did because it was dangerous. It was crazy. It was stupid. Nothing of it was unspiritual because we were saved by then. Praise the Lord. But we did some really idiotic things out there at Trey's house. We did communion, and we had no idea how to do communion, but we saw it in church. We'd pray for each other, and we didn't know really how to do that, but we saw it at church. We got to pray one night. Somebody got, you know, baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, they're just drunk in the Spirit, just laying there. We're going, what's that all about? It was awesome. You know, God didn't say do it perfect, but you know why we were there? Because we were drawn to the atmosphere in that place. I'll be honest with you guys. We don't need billboards. We don't need flashy stuff. We're going to do our due diligence on Facebook and other things to let our church be known. But I pray that you and I will be the greatest advertisement of this church. And this isn't about drawing people in. This is about what God wants to do in your life today. Because God is authentic and real in your life, and he's loving you today. Listen, all of this is a good idea, and it's a nice theme, but it's void of substance if we don't have an authentic and loving relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a second. Some of you today, you need that loving Lord Jesus Christ to intervene in your body. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come up, and I'm going to ask you to come to the left of the platform, and we're going to bring out the oil, and I'm going to ask some believers to join with me, and we're going to pray for you because God needs to touch your body. You need to know that he loves you today in that respect. Some of you today, there's just issues in your life. We'll just leave it out there. Just that's no title. There's no focus. It's just stuff. And you know what? You need an authentic, loving Lord Jesus Christ together. You know what? I pray that you have great friends. I hope you have contacts on your phone that are indeed just what I said. You know what? That they could ask you anything and you would tell them everything. But you know, you can't have that until you have the security based in a Lord and Savior who's so authentic and so loving that he went to the cross and died for you. So regardless of what you need today, in just a moment, we're going to open up the altars. The only directive I've given is to anybody who needs healing. And I ask the deacons to join me down here. We're going to pray for those. But, you know, if you just need to be with the Lord tonight, it's been a long time since you've been hanging out at Trey's house. It's been a long time since you've been hanging out in the Lord's presence. And today you just want to bask in his presence. I'm going to encourage you, as we started off this year, talking about being on our knees. Listen, don't do it in a pew. Take the effort to stand to your feet, walk down this aisle, and spend some time with your loving Lord Jesus so that he can tell you what a real, authentic, loving relationship is based on what it is between him and you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray the next few moments, will you bless us with your Holy Spirit? Will you come and be with us today? We love you with all of our heart. We want to spend just a few moments in your presence and in this altar. We ask, oh God, that you would come and you would embrace us today. Remind us, this is a lot more than just a banner on the wall. It's a lot more than a core value listed in a pamphlet. But this is the heart of the church, not our church, but the church. And we want to build our lives if it's called a church. And we want to embrace our community as we do so because of the way we love each other. We ask this, Lord, you are the only one that can make this possible. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Praise the Lord. Will everyone stand? Everyone, please stand with me. I have no idea if that was God or the musicians, but stand. Listen, if you need prayer today, will you just come right down here? Just be bold enough to step out right now. Just come down here. There's a lot of you just need to spend some time with Jesus. These altars are all over. Can I ask some of the board members and some of the men of our church to just come, and we're just going to pray for these down here. We're just going to minister to them. We're going to be dismissed in just a few moments, but if you would just embrace a time at the altar for a few seconds, I sure would appreciate it. Guys, there's the oil right there. Thank you, Brother Larry. Praise the Lord. Those of you, when they lead this song, I ask that you would just use the genuineness of your relationship with Him to just love Him. Maybe lift up your hands, just pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. Find your heart surrendered all over again. For me, October 18th, 1973, bowed my heart, gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have a date on your calendar? If you don't, you need to make it January the 19th, 2020, that you gave your heart to Jesus, maybe again and again and again.